Welcome to GovInnovator. I'm Andy Feldman. Peter Chauchet is with us today from Mathematica Policy Research to talk about how to make performance measures more useful by making them better indicators of actual impact. Here's a clip.
I think policymakers need to be very careful about how they use performance measures to reward and sanction programs, because they're not measuring sort of necessarily the value added of a program.
Performance measures and impact evaluation are two different and important tools that can be used to judge the results of particular policies or programs or even offices within a program. Ideally, though, performance measures, the first category, would give us a sense of impact, the second category. For example, if a state has 10 job training offices, can we use performance measures to track which of those offices are more effective at helping people get jobs? In other words, which ones have stronger impact? Just looking at the raw performance data may not be very helpful, because some offices may be in areas with stronger local labor markets or have easier to employ clients. So you can see from this quick example that creating performance measures that give us a sense of impact isn't easy. There are some things, however, that public managers and policymakers can do to design performance measures to be better correlated with impact. To learn more, we're joined by Peter Chauchet by phone from Princeton, New Jersey. He's a senior fellow at Mathematica Policy Research and a leading expert on evaluation methodology. He's also the author of a recent article in the Journal of Policy Analysis and Management on this topic. It's co-authored by Jane Forsten, also of Mathematica. Peter, thanks for being with us. Welcome.
My pleasure. It's great to be here.
I mentioned briefly in my introduction the difference between performance measures and impact evaluation, but give us an example in your own words to get us started on this topic about where these tools might produce different answers about effectiveness.
Okay. So let's just take an example that you have some participants in a federal job training program, and after they leave, let's say 6 months or a year after they leave, suppose 70% of them are employed. And suppose the performance standard for the program was that 60% should be employed. So in this example, the program exceeded its targets, because the 70% that were actually employed exceeded the 60% target. You know, one might say, well, the program was successful because it exceeded sort of the preset standards. But now let's turn to a sort of an impact estimation. Suppose there was some comparison group or control group where the comparison group did not go into the program and their outcomes are compared to the treatment group or program group that did go into the program. And suppose that 70% of the comparison group was also employed in that time period. So in that case, both the treatment group and the comparison group had the same 70% employment rate. So there was really no gains in employment relative to if the program did not exist. There was no value added to the program.
And of course, you could have the opposite case where a program didn't meet its performance target. Let's say it employed 70% of people and the target was 80%. But an impact evaluation might show that that program does boost employment rates versus the status quo. The point here is that performance measures and impact estimates aren't always well aligned.
Exactly.
And tell us more from a policy perspective or public management perspective about why that alignment is useful.
Okay. The reason it's important is because sort of both performance measures and impact estimations, they're both used to sort of rate the effectiveness of programs. So you'd like them to align. And it's difficult to sort of conduct ongoing impact estimation because you need these comparison groups and you need to track them. And it's that's hard and expensive to do. So you want the performance measures to sort of align with the impact estimation because it's more feasible to do sort of ongoing performance management. But I'd like to give one caveat to that you mentioned before, Andy, that in some sense they have different purposes also, that sort of performance measures, they're useful on their own, you know, sort of for holding program managers accountable for their outcomes and to sort of help track progress over time. So, you know, they can raise the performance of the whole system. So even if they don't track impacts per se, they still have value just to sort of have managers be aware of what their outcomes are, and they can track them to see if they're improving or not. But you do want the two to align the impacts and their performances as best as possible, because they're both used to rate programs.
So, Peter, based on your research, and we'll dig a little deeper in a minute about what your study actually was, what were your findings about how we can make performance measures more aligned with impact?
To answer that question, maybe we'd look at another example might be helpful. So another way that performance measures are used is if you have a program that's operating in multiple sites, often you'll have a performance measure for each site, and the sites are compared to each other. And some sites are given rewards or pats on the back for doing well, and other sites are sanctioned or whatever if their performance measures are lower. So when you think about that type of analysis, there's real potential problems here, because you may be comparing a site that has a very different type of clientele to another site, and you may be comparing apples and oranges. Just for example, suppose you have one site, just going back to our job training example, so suppose you have one site that had an 80% employment rate of its participants, and you had another site that had a 60% employment rate for its participants. So when you think about that, you know, how do you really know that that difference between the 80 and the 60 is due to differences in the quality of the programs or the effectiveness of the managers versus differences in the types of individuals and local areas perhaps served by the two sites? So when you talk about how to align the impact estimates and the performance measures, what one might want to do is to adjust the performance measures for the differences in the types of clients that they serve, so that you really can assess true quality of the program.
And that's called regression-adjusted performance measures, meaning you create a statistical model that helps you control for factors that may make performance easier or more difficult from site to site.
Exactly. And for example, you know, a critical one there would be what's the unemployment rate in the area, you know, the availability of jobs. And, you know, it's sort of a question, you sort of want to level the playing field in order to compare sites to each other. Now, you know, there's a history of whether or not to adjust the performance measures for the types of things we're talking about. And it's sort of a philosophical issue, whether every site should have the same standard or whether the standard should vary based on, you know, these sort of outside factors that may not be under the control of the program. So there's a long history of that. But in order to link the impacts with the performance measures, the only way really to do that is to sort of level the playing field, which is what the impacts are trying to do, and to sort of mimic that process in the performance measures by adjusting them.
So to recap, your first piece of advice, Peter, is that to better correlate performance measures with impact, consider regression-adjusted performance measures.
It's exactly right. And a second thing that I think is important too is that when you look at these performance measures of a lot of programs, they're quite complex. They account for a lot of different measures. They're weighted up. They're smooth. So you end up at the end getting a performance measure that's kind of hard to interpret, and that's not necessarily aligned even with the sort of the longer term outcome that you might care about. So I think the second main message about how to link up impacts and performance is to simplify the performance measures and focus them just on sort of the key outcomes. And there's a long history of why performance measures are so complex, is because, you know, new measures are built in, there's political considerations that leads to this kind of murky performance measures, which are difficult to interpret and to link up with the main outcomes that the program is trying to affect.
We've given listeners the takeaways from your research, but let's back up now and get a quick overview of the study itself, because I think it's really interesting. It focused on Job Corps, which is, since the 1960s, a voluntary residential education and job training program for youth.
Exactly. And Job Corps has a very elaborate performance measurement system. Since the 1970s, they've been developing this system. And basically, they have a performance measure for each one of their centers. So there's about 110 centers across the country. So we did a large random assignment study of the Job Corps program, and we basically had random assignment within each center. So we had sort of the treatment group who went to the centers and a sort of a comparable control group who didn't go to the centers. So what we did is we took the performance measures of those 110 centers and ranked them from highest performers to lowest performers. And we had an impact for each one of those 110 centers, lined those up also. And we said, okay, what's the sort of association correlation between the performance measures and the impact estimates? What we found is that there was basically zero association. And the main reason is what we were discussing before, is that the centers that had higher performance measures typically served kids that were less disadvantaged. So they had higher education levels, less disadvantaged backgrounds. So their outcomes were better. Whereas when you control for that with the control group, with the randomized and the impact side, that all goes away. So the story there was the performance measures were higher, not because of the quality of the centers, but because of the types of kids that they served.
And Peter, am I right that what Job Corps uses was just standard performance measures? These weren't regression-adjusted performance measures.
No, I should have said that. They weren't regression adjusted. So what our study did is we said, okay, suppose we try to regression adjust those, the performance measures, to account for these differences in the types of kids who were served and see if those align better with the impact estimates. And so, you know, what we found is that there's some potential for regression adjustment to align with the impact estimates, but that it can only hold under certain conditions. First, you need really good baseline data. In order to adjust for differences in the clientele served by different sites, you really need very good and detailed baseline data in order to do that. Otherwise, you're not really adjusting for what you want to be adjusting for. And number two is that this will only work if the performance measures are focused on the main outcomes that the impact study is looking at. So Job Corps has a very complicated performance measure that really didn't correlate real well with longer-term earnings, which was the main outcome measure. You need those things to align in order for the performance measures to link up with the impacts. Another lesson that we learned is that you often need, at least for the Job Corps population, which were younger kids, the younger kids, they transition in out of jobs. So you really needed to follow them up for quite some time before they sort of had stable employment. And so the measures that Job Corps uses, which is basically 6 months employment rate after they leave the program, you know, it's really not such a good measure of ultimate long-term earnings. And so another lesson from these performance measures is you may need to track these clients for quite some time before you really get a good hold of performance.
Final question, Peter, which is, how would you describe the broader implications of your study's findings for decision makers?
Since in our study, we didn't find wholeheartedly that the performance measures and the impacts align completely. So I think policymakers need to be very careful about how they use performance measures to reward and sanction programs, because they're not measuring sort of necessarily the value added of a program. I don't think performance measures should be used to make really huge decisions about particular program sites or components until we have a better hold and better methods for making sure that the performance measures can align with the impacts.
I said that was the last question, but a quick follow-up to what you just said. If we need to learn more about how to better align performance measures with rigorous impact evaluation, I assume that underscores the importance of programs undertaking rigorous impact evaluation, not necessarily an up or down evaluation of the whole program, but in this case, it's more about comparing impact across sites within a program.
Well, I definitely think so. And there's only been three or four studies, actually, that have ever been done that actually have compared performance measures to impact estimates. So we need a lot more research to test whether the two align and how to align them better. So then the only way to do that is to have rigorous random assignment studies so that you can get the impact estimates. Without that, you can't even test whether the two conform to each other.
Peter, congratulations on a very useful piece of research, and thanks for sharing your insights with us.
Thank you very much. This was fun.